بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادع الى سبيل ربك بالحكمه والموعظه الحسنه وجادلهم بالتي احسن صدق الله العظيم When a person lives in the society on the face of the earth as we are human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us here for a purpose. It is the place in paradise where everyone will be perfect and there will be no grudge, no disputes, which will arise from anything. On this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us specially for the human being, for his worship and obedience, and have given all the necessary instruments and tools to fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A heart, mind, eyes, ears. If anyone does not have, anyone is out of their mind and they don't know what they're saying or have lost their sense of thinking and intellect, then they are excluded from all Shari Ahkam. The commands which are in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they automatically mean that to every person they are addressed to, unless the Sharia has excluded them, everyone is then capable of acting upon them. So ye bahana, this excuse will not be accepted, that we could not do it. Only Sharia excuse, where Sharia has allowed, for example, a person, for example, a sick person has certain facilities, certain flexibility in prayer, and he can pray while sitting. Ill person can pray while lying down, but there is no excuse for not praying. And those people who will make excuse on the day of judgment, they will have very serious consequences. Once you have done something wrong, and deep down the heart, you know very well that you have done something wrong and you are not fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do not find excuse. It is the devilish way, it is the satanic way to find excuses and to give your personal arguments. As I have mentioned you time and again, that Shaitan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him that why did you not bow down to Adam, Shaitan came up with an excuse, with a philosophy, with a reasonable and logical argument, as he thought it's logical, although it was not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled him from his mercy and from salvation completely. He said, I am better than Adam. That's why I did not prostrate in front of Adam. Because I was created from fire and Adam is created from dust. And similarly on the Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, Alam anhaakuma antilkum shajara, that did I not forbid you not to go near that tree? And did I not make clear to you that Shaitan is your enemy? They did not make any excuse. They simply, straightforwardly admitted and confessed, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, verily, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا now if you will not forgive us we will be from the losers. So if you want to achieve progress in any field, first accept your ignorance and your lack of knowledge and your shortcoming, then you will be able to progress. You go to any teacher, he will only teach you when you say you don't know. When you say I don't, I know already. Or when you will try to argue with him for showing him that you know already, he will not teach you his wisdom. He will not enlighten you from the treasures of wisdom which have been endowed on him. So that is why our scholars say that whenever you attend a majlis of scholars, control your tongue. Because they are scholarly people, they will admonish you and also be very critical of what you will say. Because they know the word, they know how to play with words, they know they have complete mastery and expertise over their field. And they say whenever you visit any person of God, which means any Sufi or scholar, which is Ba'amal and Wali of Allah, then do not only control your tongue, but also control your heart as well. Guard your heart. Because you will deprive yourself from his blessing and faith if you think ill of him in the heart. So whenever a person is born and lives in the society, he interacts with people, and certainly the Ummah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the special duty of enjoining good and forbidding evil. And we continue our topic. Of the methodology and the techniques employed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry out and execute the duty of prophethood, which was one of the main aims and responsibilities of prophethood, is to enjoin good and forbid evil. So the point which will be covered today in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, some people commit sins and do mistakes and make mistakes without knowledge. They don't know. That is why they do. That is why they make mistakes. Or they do anything wrong out of ignorance or lack of knowledge, ilm nahi hota. Then there are second category of people who know that that is wrong, and they intentionally, knowingly commit the sin or make the mistake. Both of these people should be rebuked according to the Quran and Sunnah. They should be corrected. And they should be admonished. But there is a difference how a person who unknowingly had made mistake, how he should be approached, how he should be taught, and then the other person who knowingly, who knows that that was wrong, he have done that, or he persists to do that again and again, how he should be rebuked and admonished for his welfare. So always keep this difference in your mind. Do not use the same way, same method, same technique, same attitude while dealing with both of these categories of human beings. So one of the story or one of the hadith which I want to share with you. It happened to Hazrat Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Salami when he came to Madinatul Munawwara from the desert, and he did not know that it is forbidden to speak during the Salah. There was one time it was allowed to speak during the Salah. So then if someone said, Alhamdulillah, the person can. They used to answer, Ya Rahmatullah. Or if someone said Salam, you could answer by saying Wa Alaikum Salam in the prayer, while you were in the prayer. But then the command came that to be completely silent in the prayer, except what is prescribed by the Sunnah. So that is why the Hanafiya and Fiqh, they are inclined towards sukoon, towards calmness, that they do not do rafayadan, that firstly it was allowed to speak, it was allowed to say salam, and they were very movement, but when the commands came, that be silent and calm in the prayers and stand firmly, then the Ahnaf athlete take all those ahadith which are in compliance and in conformance with those verses of Quran. So that is why people who have insight and who have great insight of deen, actually, they will find that the fiqh Hanafi is one of the fiqh which is very close to Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the others are as well, but this is also one of the major ones. But a person who will look on the surface only, he will not find this, because he does not have that insight and deep knowledge. He said, whilst I was praying behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may peace and blessings be upon him. So he came from the desert and in Masjid al-Nabawi, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading the prayer, and he was muqtadi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began to pray. So whilst he was praying behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man sneezed from the praying the worshipper. Chink aagi kisi ko, sahabi ko. So I said, Yarhamukallah, may Allah have mercy on you. This is the answer of when someone say, Alhamdulillah, after sneezing. Then it is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Yarhamukallah, may Allah have mercy on you. So if someone doesn't say, then you should, it is sunnah not to say. If someone not say Alhamdulillah, then you should not say Alhamdulillah. Once it happened and some one person complained to that alim, a great scholar, a companion, that you have not said Alhamdulillah to me. And he said, you forgot to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also forgot you as well, as you forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, awaaz se thoda sa kehna chahiye, with a voice so that it is heard to the others. When he said, Yarhamukallah, now all the other people, mostly in the congregation, they knew that it is not allowed to speak now. So imagine all people knew that it is not allowed to speak, they were completely silent. And he did not hear Alhamdulillah as well, because no one spoke. But he thought that because he was following the previous command, when it was allowed to speak, he said, the people glared at me, so I said, may my mother lure me, what is wrong with you that you are looking at me like this? They began to slap their thighs with their hands, and when I saw that they were indicating that I should be quiet, I stopped talking. I nearly wanted to answer back, but I controlled myself, the companion said, and kept quiet. When the Messenger of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished praying, and may my father and mother be sacrificed for him, I have never seen a better teacher than him before or since. So he said, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously was Imam, and he heard what happened and he knew what was happening. So now this was the method now employed and adopted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him. See, the companion, although being coming from desert and he was Bedouin, not a very educated person at that time, but the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him regarding this mistake which he has made unknowingly, so he did not know. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rebuke me or hit me or put me to shame. Na unne jhidka, na unne mara, or na hi, neither put me to shame. But why you done this? Don't you know the new command has come? Anything like that? He just said, this prayer should contain nothing of speech of men. कि नमाज में इंसानों का कलाम दाखिल नहीं होना चाहिए. This prayer should contain nothing of speech of men. It is only tasbih, takbir and recitation of the Quran. This hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah, it is only tasbih, takbir, which is Allahu Akbar tasbih, like Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and or like Sana, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, and the citation of the Quran and Quran. So the ignorant person or the person who do not have knowledge, he need to be taught. The one who has doubts about something, he needs to be explained. And if a person adopts a very, you can say, harsh way of admonishing him, this can fire back as well. If you be too harsh on a person who have done something out of ignorance, out of not knowing, and the other person is pressing so much on him, this will can end in that he will not listen to what you are saying, and he will defend himself, or even object on you that why you are saying this to me like this. It is as if he is saying to the one who is rebuking, why don't you teach me before you launch an attack on me? So the person who is doing a mistake because of not knowing, he might think, and he probably thinks, that he is doing it right. Because to that person, the right thing was to speak, to say, Yarhamukallah. So he, on his, you have to go into his mind and think that he thinks he is doing right. And in his mind, he does not think he is doing a wrong thing or any sin. So we should take into account and deal with him tactfully. Another hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, may Allah have mercy on him, reported in his Musnad from Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is another companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate some food, then got up to pray. He already had wudu. So there is a company of companions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ate some food, took some food, and he had already done wudu before. But I brought some water for him to do wudu. So the companion brought some water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa to do wudu. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuffed me and said, go away. Because there was a large gathering of the other companion and normal people coming from all surrounding of Medina, Al-Munawwara and different villages and tribes. He said, I felt upset by Allah. He prayed and I complained to Umar about what has happened. He said, O Prophet of Allah, Mughira feels hurt by your rebuff and he is worried that you may be angry. حضرت مغیرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ was very worried and anxious that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become angry with me, and he did not understand that why. So he was very worried, so he did not go directly, because he said, if I go directly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might become more angry at me. So he sent Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ that you ask that question so that I can put myself right. So he is very worried, because any person with whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become angry or displeased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become displeased with him. And he has no refuge there. So Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ says, O Prophet of Allah, Al-Mughira is very worried and hurt by your boyfriend. He is worried that you may be angry with him for some reason. What is that reason? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now answering the query, I see only good in him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mujhe iske khair ke siwa isme kuch nazar nahi aata. Ye isme khair hai, oh good in him. I only see good in him. There is nothing wrong. So this is answering that he, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rebuffing or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's anger was not because actually that there is some evil or there is some, Mughira has done a very serious mistake or sin. I see only good in him, but he brought me water to do wudu after I had eaten some food, and if I had done wudu, then the people would have followed suit. They would have, for example, thought that they had to do wudu every time they had eaten something. So this was now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a large gathering, and because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a normal person, whatever he did, his eating, drinking was becoming Sharia. His smiling, his sitting, his manner of his walking was all becoming Sharia and Sunnah. So people were always looking very focused on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whatever he did, they wanted to follow. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his and insight and vision given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom, thought that these people who are normal people, simple people, they will, some of them will think that we have to do wudu by after eating. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very clearly. And why Rasulullah said, go away so that everyone should see that Rasulullah did not do wudu, and there is no need of wudu after. Then said, we should note that when Prophet pointed out the mistakes of these great Sahaba, it did not have a negative impact on them, but had a positive impact on them. They did not go home and say, we are not going to go in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it has a positive effect on them, and having been corrected in this manner by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would remain anxious and worried, watching their behavior and feeling concerned, until they could be sure that the Messenger of Allah was pleased with them. The next point which we'll cover, the making distinction between, now this is a very important point, very important point. There will be some very important points for you to note. Making a distinction between mistakes stemming from the honest effort to find out what is right, which is called ijtihad, and mistakes done deliberately out of negligence or because of shortcoming or because of not being qualified to do ijtihad. Ek to hai ijtihad ka matlab hota hai koshish karna, that you have the necessary knowledge and everything and you make an effort. Someone will ask a masala from you, but inshallah I will read the hadith, you will understand what happened. There is no doubt that in the first case, a person is not to be blamed, where a person has the necessary knowledge of the Quran, of the Sunnah, and of the companions about Messiah. And then if any person asks him about the masala, deen masala, you should not answer him straightforwardly. until you know, first you will scan your memory, there is the Quranic mention. And if you do not have the full knowledge of the Quranic verses, then it is better to keep quiet. If you only know one verse or two verses, it is better to keep quiet, because there might be other 5-10 verses relating to the same topic, which will be excluding something, making exception, conditioning some things as well. Then that person will scan the treasures of a hadith, not only Bukhari, Muslim and Sahih Sitta, but the widely available books of a hadith. He should have an insight and a vision, and he should have a sight over the most, if not really most of the hadith of Rasulullah. If he finds a masla there, he should then get it from there. If he doesn't find there, then he goes to the aqwal and the sayings and the utterances of the Sahaba-i-Karam and the companion of Rasulullah and their students. What they have at the answer. If they have answered, he should select any answer from them. But they have answered. If they have not answered, not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah, not in the companions, then this person is allowed to give his own opinion in the light of Quran and Sunnah. Me and you are not allowed to give us our own opinion that I think it's this, I think this hadith means this, I think this verse means this. I think this is like this. Until you have that knowledge, there are 15 conditions which should be fulfilled to become a mujtahid. One of them is to know the tafsir of Quran, which verse is abrogated, which is not abrogated, the hadith, which hadith abrogates which one, which hadith, for example, is related to which, where Prophet ﷺ said this in the war, or on his bedding, or in the mosque, or where he was having food, at what time was it, which year it was, etc. All the knowledge which a person should have, then he is qualified to become a mujtahid. It is not sufficient to just pick up few pages of hadith of Bukhari or Sahih Muslim and say that and read it and saying, yes, this is what it means, this is what it means. It is not allowed. Because that is only one part which you will have. Regarding that topic, maybe Rasulullah ﷺ has said something else as well regarding this topic in another hadith, which you don't know. So that is why only we follow Imam and Mujtahid. That is the first case, a person is not to be blamed even if he makes mistake. Indeed, he will earn one reward even if he is mistaken. So long as his attention was sincere and he tried to reach the right conclusion. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned hadith in Sahih Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi reports this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a ruler, a judge, when someone asks you to tell you a masala, you are also a judge. If a ruler judges and strives to make the right decision, and his decision is correct, he will have two rewards, and if his decision is wrong, he will still have one reward. Whatever I said last time to you, that if a person is qualified, like Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam Abu Yusuf, or another Imam, Zafiq Imam Shafi, Rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad bin Ambal, Imam Malik, another Imam Sufyan Thawri, and those people who have passed, actually, who were mujtahid and that. Even they make mistake by telling a masla, they still get one reward. And if they do correctly, then they will get double reward. But me and you, people who do not have, who do not have the knowledge of Arabic language even, that aside what Quran hadith says, their case is very, very serious. I will just narrate a hadith to you now, what Rasulullah said. This is a different case from one who errs, who does a mistake deliberately or because of shortcomings in his knowledge, or he does not qualify. In the first instance, the person should be taught and advised. In the second, he should be warned and rebuked. The ijtihad which may be excused should be done on the part of one who is qualified in it.
Only that mistake is excused and he gets reward. Not one who gives fatwas without knowledge and without taking circumstances into account. This is why the Prophet ﷺ very severely denounced the people who made the mistake in the case of a man with a head wound. Now, note this hadith very clearly, and it actually demonstrates that the people who pick up a hadith and actually only have part knowledge of the hadith and part knowledge of the deen, and then begin to issue fatwas for people that what Prophet ﷺ said for them. So the hadith, now story from Hazrat Imam Abu Dawood, Sunan Abi Dawood narrates the hadith in his Kitab al-Tahara, Babul Marjuh ya Tayammam, Tayammam ke Babab al-Tahara mein. So what did Imam Abu Dawood say? He narrates in his Sunan from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, we went out on a journey. We went out on a journey with other groups of they were companions, others. And one of the men, one of the companions of Rasulullah, a stone hit his head and blood poured out. There was a very severe injury to his head. So his head started bleeding. Then he slept. And when he woke up, he needed to do ghusl because of ihtilam, because he was in state of janaba. So firstly, he was a wounded person, his head was wounded, bleeding. And when he slept that night, when he was getting up for fajr prayer, now there is a journey, somewhere in the journey, paddle chal rahi hai, ghodon par chal rahi hai. Now he had to do ghusl. One cannot pray without having ghusl if one has in state of janaba. It is farz to do ghusl. So when he got up just before fajr, very cold, his head bleeding, he needs ghusl. He did not know what to do. He asked his companion, he asked other companions who were with him, he said, do you think I could get away with doing tayammum? Do you think I should do tayammum because I am injured, wounded, very vulnerable? They said, we don't think you have any excuse because water is available. We have enough water and we will help you as well. And we don't think, in our opinion, you should do ghusl with the water, because water is there. And only ghusl, the yamam is allowed when the water is not there, and water is there. So he did ghusl. God feeling, let aside us, our people, we are sleeping sweet sleep at night. Let aside to ghusl. Even if we have to do ghusl or wudu with warm water, hot water is available. There is no central heating is on. In the mosques they are warm. But imagine about these people. They were not stupid people, nauzubillah, or were not intelligent people, but they were the most intelligent and wise people. They knew that one person who misses one prayer will spend 360,000 million years in hellfire, or so in millions years in hellfire for missing one prayer. They knew that very well. कि भई ये नमाज जो है बड़ा सख्त ज़ारा है, ये कुफर के करीब बंदे को ले जाते हैं. सोना जो है, which will not. So they thought that even our Nepal, we leave, if we lose our life, still it is worth. और हमें क्योंकि ईमान हमारा कमजोर है. हम सोचते हैं सारी दुनिया सो रही है तो क्या बात है, जहां ये जाएंगे वहां हम भी चले जाएंगे. तो यहां तो कोई नहीं सोचता. When people who are living in Bangladesh, Pakistan and India, we never think there that all people are living there, they are getting daily bread. Why should we not live there as well and get daily bread? वहां भी तो खाना मिल सकता है. उस वक्त तो हम पैसे दे के, धोखा दे के, जिस तरह भी we have reached here, तो भाई थोड़े से पैसे ज्यादा. So it is hypocrisy on our side. There is no other thing. यह हंसने की बात नहीं है. It is very serious. Prophet said that whoever misses prayer intentionally, he has committed an act of kufr. He has committed kufr in fact.
So, उन्होंने ये किया क्या सहाबी ने when he came to excuse they he did ghusl complete ghusl and he died eventually resulting from that ghusl because his head was injured very much and the water actually went in his wound and he was very cold and finally he died उमर के सहाबी बात अब देखिए उन्होंने मौत को तरजीह दी फजर की नमाज एक नमाज छोड़ने से मरना कबूल कर लिया नमाज भी नहीं बल्कि वुजू पे गुस्ल पे किया ही सैक्रिफाइस हिज होल लाइफ ऑन गुस्ल एंड फियर ऑफ अल्लाह सुभान व तआला अब हमें हर चीज वी हैव एवरीथिंग इन आवर वी हैव टाइम फॉर गोइंग टू टॉयलेट वी हैव टाइम टू गो टू द डॉक्टर वी हैव टाइम एक्चुअली टू सी एनीवन वी हैव टाइम टू गो टू वर्क टू अटेंड अदर पीपल बट द अपॉइंटमेंट व्हिच यू हैव मेड विद अल्लाह सुभान व तआला आई टाइम वेयर इज दैट टाइम वेयर विल फाइंड दैट टाइम वेल यू आर फ्री टू व्हाटएवर यू वांट टू डू अंटिल यू डाई एंड अल्लाह सुभान व तआला विल होल्ड अस अकाउंटेबल नो वन इज एस्केपिंग So when this group or companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, जब ये वापस आए, तो they mentioned all what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was told about this. He said, now this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying. He said, they have killed him. May Allah kill them. Why did they not ask if they did not know? The cure of one who does not know is to ask. Now imagine about the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they have killed him, may Allah kill them. Why did they not ask if they did not know? The cure of the one who does not know is to ask. Now Rasulullah expressed very clearly, those were not normal people, they were companions. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to them, to normal companions, look, let aside me being mujtahid or you being a mujtahid with a hadith or two hadith, five hadith. No, we don't know how many hundreds of hadith those companions already have heard. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you have done a mistake and you will be punished. That's why Rasulullah said they have killed him, that it is the sin is on yourself as well, because you did tell them a masala, you did give a fatwa, you did give your opinion without the knowledge regarding that one. So it is not that they did not have knowledge, it is that they did not have complete knowledge of the masail of wudu and tayammum and ghusl. So Rasulullah said, this is no excuse. If you did not know, you should have kept quiet. And Prophet said, the cure of the one who does not know is to ask. Agar nahi pata, to usko poochho jisko pata hai. So there comes the Imam Mujtahid. There becomes Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi and Imam Malik. Companions ko bhi zarurat hai, ke dusre se poochhein, andaza lagaye. Sahaba-e-ikram ko zarurat hai, jo directly hadith ko, hadith aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam se sun rahe hain. और हम जिन्होंने सिर्फ किताब में एक दो हदीस पढ़ी हम कहें हमें इमाम अबू हनीफा की जरूरत नहीं हमें इमाम अहमद बिन हंबल की जरूरत नहीं है क्योंकि हम खुद इमाम हैं हम मुज्तहिद हैं उनके को इसी तरह ट्रीट किए जाएंगे द मिस्टेक की दे मेड बिकॉज ऑफ देयर शॉर्ट कमिंग एंड देयर लैक ऑफ नॉलेज एंड देयर लैक ऑफ इनसाइट दे विल हैव टू एक्चुअली बी हेल्ड अकाउंटेबल बाई दे वर नॉट क्वालिफाइड टू बिकम अ मुज्तहिद एंड हेल मसाइल फ्रॉम देमसेल्फ They should have adopted the cure of the one who does not know is to ask. So though even the companions are urged to ask other companions, that is why all the companions were not issuing fatwas. There were only handful of companions who were issuing the great fuqaha of the Sahaba, like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Every companion was not actually saying, issuing fatwas to everyone. Some of them were appointed as muftis or qadis under their reign, and khilafah of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, khilafah of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, and
being the companions. So this hadith very clearly condemns those people. First it says the people who are qualified, even if they are sincere and they do full effort and still they make mistake, they will get rewarded. Secondly, it is condemning those people who do not have complete knowledge of deen and they are issuing, they are becoming would-be mujtahid. The Prophet ﷺ said that judges are of three types. One will be in paradise and the other two will be in hell. Judges not mean only judge sitting in the magistrate court or wherever. Judges are any person who is asked a masla of deen, or if a few people ask him to judge between us, we have a dispute. You can be a judge of your family. You can be a judge of your neighbor. They call to you that me and my wife are a disagreement, can you solve it? Or brothers come from the community. So Prophet ﷺ, there are three types of judges. Two of them are in hell and one in paradise. The type that will be in paradise is the man who knows the truth and judges accordingly. The first category of the judge who will be in paradise is the man who knows, which means he is qualified, he has complete knowledge of deen, or whatever he is being asked, he is actually properly qualified to issue judgment. And he issues judgment, then he is man of paradise. No matter he makes a mistake or he tells the correct. Who have knowledge. This is also hadith related in Sunan Abi Dawud. Imam Abu Dawud narrates this hadith as well, and the previous one as well. The second is a man who judges between people, knows that the truth. So the second person, so one person only who will judge you going to paradise is the man who knows the truth, who is qualified, and he issues the judgment. He is the man of paradise. Now those other types which will go in hellfire, one is a man who knows the truth, but judges unjustly will be in hell. So the second person have the knowledge, but he, in despite of having the knowledge, he intentionally give a false judgment. He discriminates out of some, for something. And thirdly, and a man who judges between people and tells them a sign, for example. So a man who judges between people without proper knowledge will also be in hell. Now this is the would-be mujtahid type people. Actually they issue judgment on not social, financial disagreement, but judgment on the issue of deen, imagine, which is the most precious thing. It is not like I owe him 1500 pounds, he owes me 1000 pounds, how much I owe him. It is not a matter like this. Is my prayer valid or not? Am I committing shirk or is it tawheed? Am I committing haram or is it faraz or haram? If you issue judgments according to, regarding these things, you are issuing judgments regarding the deen, which is precious things than anything on the earth, which has direct relationship with the iman and the success and salvation in the hereafter. So Prophet ﷺ said very clearly to this meaning in the hadith of Imam Abu Dawud. And also the Salafis mostly they followed it, one of the scholar of the hadith, may Allah have mercy on him, Shaykh Albani, he also classified this as Sahih hadith in his books. He said that this is Sahih hadith. So a man who judges between people without proper knowledge will also be in hell. So imagine, it's not very soft or thing, or you can say there's great flexibility that you are allowed to tell your opinion that I know this masala, I think like this. Every word, even you say Allah with your tongue, you will be asked on the day of judgment, why did you say Allah? Was it because of zikr of Allah? Or was it just actually to show that you are doing zikr of Allah? Or was it for any other reason? So that is why the companion, Imam Malik, who was a qualified mujtahid, and Imam of Medina, of Masjid Nabvi, and Imam of Medina Tal Manawwara, a fiqh after the companion, and all people were coming to him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi resided in Kufa in Iraq. Imam Malik was Imam of Medina. One person says that in his company he was sitting, Imam Malik was sitting, One person came and he said that I am traveler. I have traveled far away from whichever country he came. He said, I have few masail to ask. Imam Sahib said, yes, you can ask. Look, his students are there, everyone is there, and he is famous in the Muslim world. And he wrote one of the first the books which are available now, even Mota Imam Malik, a book of hadith as well. So that person asked 28 questions. One person asked 28 questions to Imam Malik. 28 questions. He said that Imam Malik answered 8, and about in answer of 20, he says, La Adri, I don't know. Yeah. Mere paas ilm nahi. I don't know the answer of this. Magi. People who, everyone is turning to. 28 question puche gaye, and 8 he said, he answered, and 20 he said, I don't know. So ye hota hai ki itna khauf hai un par ke jo bata diya Allah paak puche gaye bhai kyun bataya hai. To ye koi bachchu ka khel nahi. Another man came from very far away. He asked Imam Sahib one masala only. And Imam Sahib, after thinking some time, Imam Malik, he said, I don't know the answer. And he cried. And he said, Imam Sahib, I have come from so far away. And everyone suggested that you are the Imam of the time. You are the scholar of the time. And please answer me. He said, I don't know. How shall I answer you? I am not sure about the answer. So I will not give you answer until I am sure, like a sun is shining in front of me. Until I am sure like that, I will not answer you. So he said, what shall I say to the people who I from the country I have come from, the city I have come from? What will they say? That Imam Malik did not know, Imam Malik, he went to Imam Malik and he had not answered or whatever. What will they say to people who have sent me? There are 100 people who sent me as a representative, what will I answer them? He said, answer them, say that I asked Imam Malik, the Imam of Medina, this masala, and he said, I don't know. یہ کیا دیا پھر کبھی آنا تو میں تمہیں بتاؤں گا اس نو سو دیز ٹو آر ویری امپورٹنٹ احادیث اینڈ ریمبر دم وین یو ڈسکس اینی ایشو ریگارڈنگ دوز پیپل دیٹ از وائی پیپل ویری مچ ایمفسائز دیٹ مجتہدین شوڈ بی فالوڈ بیکاز دے آر میکنگ دم سیلف پیپل آف ہیلپ be issuing judgments and fatwas without knowledge. Kitne baje hai namaz? I will speak. There are a few other hadith, but I think you have understood the purpose. Another important point is to be fair and not be biased when issuing fatwas or when correcting other people's mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, issue of the name, and whenever you give your word, which means judge between men or give evidence, say the truth. And in another verse, and whenever you judge between men, you should judge with justice. And in another, this is in Surah Nisa, and in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that judge with justice, no matter you have to judge between someone is of close relation to you and the other one is not. So one hadith is regarding that. The fact that Hazrat Usama bin Zayd was the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that so much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was called the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this was the person who was sold as a slave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a very young age.
and somehow he was kidnapped and brought here into Medina to Makkah or Medina to Munawwara, and Rasulullah SAW brought him, and he from very young age stayed with Rasulullah SAW. After they heard his family was finding him here and there, and they heard that he, from someone, that their son is in Medina to Munawwara. And all their family, their uncle, his father, his mother, was there, the young boy, 7, 6, 7, 8 years. His father, uncle, all his family, his mother, came with lots of money. And they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not believe Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a messenger of God. At that time, they were disbelievers. They said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have heard that our son is in your possession, and someone has kidnapped him, and he is with you, and he has been sold as a slave to you. We will give thee the worth and the value for the money which you have paid, even more we will pay. Return our son to us." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said that I do not have any objection, and I will be more than happy if a son has become, the family has been reunited, if the son is united with the mother and the father and the family. I have no objection. आप ले जा सकते हैं, आप मैं बुलाता हूँ, आई विल कॉल जैद। ये उसामा बिन जैद हदीस इनकी नरेट कर रहा हूं मैं, ये वो नहीं, दिस इज सेपरेट पर्सन अदर जैद। नाउ इमेजिन फादर मदर अंकल ऑल द फैमिली इज सिटिंग, अ बॉय, रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, आई हैव नो ऑब्जेक्शन इफ ही गोज विद यू, ही You can take him free, I won't charge him. He came and he sat in the with Rasulullah sallam on his thigh, and there his mother and father and uncle is sitting, and they're saying, oh, they met him, hugged him, kissed him, and he said, we are very fortunate that we found you, this and that, and said, let's go home now. When he said this, Zaid said, no, I don't want to go with you. There is some kind of pressure on him. They advised them. They said, we want to talk about our son in seclusion. So they asked our son, I am your mother, the father, I am your father. We are coming. There is no, don't fear anything. You can come with us, and even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has agreed with us. He Zaid, in spite of being a very young at that age, he said, the love which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives me, I don't think my mother and father can give me the compassion the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives me, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treats me. The calm and the peace and tranquility which I found with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't want to leave. They still wanted to take him, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will say only this, that without his will you cannot take him. If he wants to go, from myself he is permitted, he has permission to go with you. Even not now, anytime. But Zaid said, I don't want to go. So they actually went home back. Imagine this reflects what type of character and what type of companionship and what type of behavior and moral Rasulullah had with his people who were immediate. That the mother, the son is not going with his mother and father. So ye unke bete the Hazrat Usama bin Zaid was his son now, of Zaid's son, and he was also very beloved now of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from rebuking him most sternly when he tried to intercede regarding one of the punishments prescribed by Allah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Quraysh was concerned about a woman who, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman stole something,
from the Quraysh. Quraysh was a very honorable tribe. So she stole something at the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At the time of the conquest of Makkah, they said, who will speak to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about her? They thought that they should intercede, and because there will be a great insult and to the family if she is, her hand is cut or anything. He said that no one has the courage to speak to Rasulullah regarding this. He said, who can be more suitable than Usama bin Zayd, the beloved of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? She was brought to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Hazrat Usama bin Zayd spoke to him concerning her. That she is honorable, she did not know, and she is very, she has confessed, and she is very sorry, etc. Hazrat Usama was very beloved of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he, so Rasulullah was saying this. And the punishment was the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When he said this to her, the face of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed color, and he said, are you interceding concerning one of the punishments prescribed by Allah? And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face turned red. Usama said to him, when he saw the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face turned red and with anger, and when Usama said, pray for forgiveness for me, O Messenger of Allah. He feared himself and his own iman was at stake at that time. He said, Rasulullah, pray for me, forgive me, please. When evening came, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up and addressed the people. He praised Allah as he deserved to be praised. Then he said, the people who came before you were destroyed. Now this is people of the Jews and Christians and other people of the past in the communities. They were destroyed. Why? Because if one of their nobles stole, honorable in society, they would let him go, but if one of the weak among them stole, they would carry out the punishment on him. So this was a cause of disruption and destruction of the society. By the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, Rasulullah said, us zati qasam jiske haath mein meri jaan hai. If Fatima, this is Fatima bint Qais, this is Fatima bint Qais from Quraysh. If Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, were to steal, I would cut off her hand as well. So Rasulullah said, this is other Fatima, she is also from Quraysh, but even if it was my beloved daughter Fatima, I still would have cut her hand. Then he ordered that the woman who had stolen should have her hand cut off. So this is, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed his anger. When, according to someone you know, someone is very near to you, you might not treat or admonish or rebuke or correct that person in such a way while you will, how you will approach or admonish another person who you don't know, who is normal person. Maybe a person, I have good understanding with this brother, I might turn a blind eye from this way. But I have certain disagreement or anything with this brother, and then I might, you know, be very strong saying that, yes, I am. This is not really the propagating of deen or his welfare, it is expression of the grudge inside. I am just making a veil of the deen. There is another hadith relating this, but I will not relate it. Very similar one. Inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ's attitude toward Usama bin Zayd indicates that he was fair and just, and that Islam came before love of people in his view. A person may put up with the personal faults of whoever he wishes, but he has no right to be tolerant or biased toward those who mistakes transgress the limits set by Islam. So again, sometimes when a relative or a friend makes a mistake, a person does not rebuke him as he would a person whom he does not know. So one may see an un-Islamic bias or discrimination in his dealing because of this. That's another point. Usually we cover it, that being careful, this is a part of wisdom, that effort of yours not lead to a greater mistake, a greater evil. Therefore, you are trying to stop a lesser evil, let's say. And if you know that if you will ask this person or enjoin good or forbid evil in this way, this will lead to a greater evil. Then you should not. ये भी है करना, ये नहीं है कि हाँ 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 मुझे हक का पता है, I know what is right and I will say no matter all that is against me. No, this is not actually the way. ये देखना कि हाँ कि भाई yes, the opposite party, whoever it is, that it might not lead, your attitude might not lead to a greater destruction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is well established in Islam that fact that allows the lesser of two evils in order to repel a greater evil. So the da'i, the reformer, the preacher may keep quiet about one mistake, lest saying something lead to a more serious mistake. Example, few hadith I will share with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept quiet about the munafiqeen and did not execute them, although they deserved to be executed. Even though their kufr was well established through the Quran and Prophet ﷺ, even knew who are the real munafiqeen as well. He bore their insults with patience. The Prophet ﷺ was with forbearance, insults with patience. And Prophet ﷺ, when the Prophet Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه and the companions sometimes say, Rasul ﷺ, why not actually kill them when you know them very well? Prophet Umar, lest the people say Muhammad is killing his companion. So imagine the Prophet ﷺ فرمایا کہ لوگ یہ کہیں گے کہ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نعوذ باللہ تو اپنے صحابہ کو بھی قتل کر دیتے ہیں. And this will be a wrong concept about Islam, portrayal of image of Islam. So Prophet ﷺ, because of the betterment and the welfare of the majority and for the propagation of Islam, he personally bore all the insults, all the difficulties, and problems these munafiqeen put up all the time with the Rasulullah. Especially since their nature was true, true nature was not known to everyone. Sabko to nahi pata wo munafiqeen hai. Wo to sirf sahaba ko jo very near people only know. Other people who are here in the tribe and they will say they are thinking to become Muslim when they hear so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of wisdom did not. Knowing the munafiqeen, even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam name by name told Hazrat Huzaifa رضي الله تعالى عنه names of munafiqeen. But whenever the time came and the companions were very angry on munafiqeen and they wanted to kill Rasul, they said, no, people will say Muhammad kills his own companions. So you have to actually take what people take in consideration sometimes. So that, because kill them, they will be repelled. Others will take their place. But once this word gets out that there is no safety for even the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will hinder people from entering Islam. So samjhaiye, dekhe na, aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne unko zinda rakha, unko koi saza nahi dehi, jante hue bhi, taki bhi zyada fitna fasad badhne padega. And personally Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore all their evil. And then the other example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that the Kaaba, when it was built by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was not in the shape which it is in the shape now. देखो ना जो असल काबा है जो रसूल हजरत इब्राहिम ने बनाया, the shape is not like a cubical like it's now. If you have seen the picture of Kaaba, there is a semicircle just beside it. جو لوگ حج پہ گئے ہیں عمرے کو کیا کہتے ہیں اس کو؟ حکیم. آپ کی زبان میں حکیم کیا کہتے ہیں؟ اسی نام سے پہچانا جاتا ہے حکیم. جو عربی میں حکیم کہا جاتا ہے اس کا نام ہے. جسٹ سیمی سرکل بسائڈ کا کعبہ. تو دا ریئل کعبہ وچ حضرت ابراہیم اینڈ اسماعیل ایکچولی بلٹ واز ایکچولی اے ڈفرنٹ شیپ دین دی ویئر اٹ از ناؤ. اٹ واز ناٹ دس شیپ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now why was it in this shape? Why, how did this end up in this shape? Very briefly I tell you, there came a flood in the Makkah al-Mu'azzama and the Kaaba became shaheed, demolished. And the kuffar and the mushrikeen who were there, they wanted to rebuild the Kaaba. This Abu Jahl, people like him. But they collected, they did a collection for money. They said, we only want to build the Kaaba with lawful money. Look, even the mushrikeen said, ke lawful money se masjid hum banayenge, Kaaba banayenge. Not money of prostitution, drug or alcohol, anything like this. Nahin. Hum lawful money, lawful money. So when they got all the money together, they only had the money to build the Kaaba which is built now. So unhone faisla kiya, they made a decision, no matter we will leave the Kaaba, the real shape of the Kaaba out, but we will not put a break out of unlawful money. Or a stone which is earned unlawfully, which is not path, which is not pure, because it is the house of Allah. So unhone pura to nahi banaya. جتنا بنا اتنا بنا دیا حلال پیسے سے. اس لیے مسجد میں مدرسے میں حرام پیسہ اللہ کے راہ میں نہیں لگتا. امام غزالی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ گیو دی ایگزامپل ٹو اسپینڈ حرام ان دا وے آف اللہ از لائک میکنگ کلاتھ وچ از آلریڈی امپیور. جیسے ناپاک کپڑا ہو وچ کلاتھ اور یور اینی پارٹ آف your dress, which is already impure, when napak it is filth, and try to make it purified with urine. Peshab se paak karega kapda banao to kya paak hoga usko. To Imam Ghazali ne ye misal di ki jo haram paisa Allah ke raste mein dekh ke samjhte hain ki Allah ki raza milegi, to wo aise hi hai jaise napak kapde ko peshab se paak karne ke. Allah paak ki zarurat nahi uski. Mushrikeen even understood very much this, and they left the Kaaba as they preferred. So since that time, the Kaaba in the time of Prophet ﷺ was also in that shape, and Rasulullah ﷺ said that, O Aisha, I would very much like to rebuild it on the foundation laid by Ibrahim alayhi salam. But I will not do it because of the consideration that Quraysh, the people who were still very new to Islam and too close to the recent Jahiliyyah, most of them, because they will then say, oh look, this is a new prophet who is actually destroying the Kaaba and who is rebuilding anything. Although it was allowed, and the Prophet could have done it, and thus was guided by revelation. Now this is taking into consideration the level and the minds of people. Not saying, yes, this is right, I must do it now, no matter what happens. Let them think whatever they do. No. Prophet ﷺ left it like this. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I had a strong wish I could do this, but I will not do it because of the betterment of people. So he left it as it was, with the part missing and the door set high. So Rasulullah ﷺ suggested two things. One, the Kaaba was built on the foundation laid by Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then the door should be brought down to the ground so that everyone can enter. Because at that time only rich people and rulers used to enter. And Prophet said, this is not right. It is against the justice offered by Islam. Because it contained an element of zulm, wrongdoing. So Prophet wanted to eliminate this hindrance and this obstruction for poor people, they could not enter the Kaaba. Now, these two examples are from a hadith that always think whatever you're going to say, that this does not pose a greater evil and greater fitna than what actually you are trying to repel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told to the Muslims in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah had told the Muslims not to insult, not to swear the gods of the mushrikeen. Dekhra Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, buttu ko bhi gali na do. Jis ko ye khuda ke siwa pukarte hain, those they call beside Allah, do not swear and insult them. Buth patthar ke, another thing. Why? Even though this is a form of worship, حالانکہ یہ بہت اچھی چیز ہے وضو کو ختم کر دینا. توحید جو ہے بہت اچھی چیز ہے, شرک بری چیز ہے. Because this could lead the people to insult Allah سبحانہ وتعالی, which is the worst of evil. دیکھیں نا, میں بت کو برا کہوں, میں کہوں I say to both the mushrikeen, Lat ko poojte the, Uzza, any time now as well people, whatever people worship, main aapko kahun ki wo bura hai, usko gaali di. This is a thing which in my sight you can say will be right, bhai ye but bura hai, bura hai, there is koi shak nahi, it is a source of shirk. But yet, when the other person will use the same word and attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the other person will say to my God, Allah, same word, this is greater evil. And to say to the booth, and to insert the booths and the gods of mushrikeen, it is lesser evil. It is a lesser evil to rebuke and to, you can say, swear and insult. Although it is good to do that, but it will lead to a greater evil, because in return, those people will actually insult and swear at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that do not swear, gali na do apne waldain ko. Do not swear at your parents. Do not insult. Do not use abusing language towards your parents. The companions could not even think about this.
They said, Ya Rasulullah, who can do that? No one do it.
Rasulullah said, when any person swears at the parents of any other person, he is in fact swearing at his own parents. Because that person will actually answer him, and the swearing, the abusing language which he will use will soon follow him to his parents as well. And we will turn to his parents even more. So this is also a way of actually protecting your honor. So this is also a way that have your self-esteem or self-respect by being good to others and not abusing language to other people, because they will be using towards you as well. So a person who is without anger says, oh, I am doing this and that to that person. He is in fact actually saying to himself, because soon that person will answer him more harshly. And if he could have kept quiet, then actually he will get ajr as well, and also he will actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with him, and he will get ajr by his forbearance. Don't you see in Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, as you are from that part of the world, when anyone swears at someone, some people come so furious and so angry that they begin fighting, and then they go end up in jail. So for example, someone said about anyone's sister, we have your sister, swore about her sister, for example, let's say. And the other person could not tolerate it, and he swore back to him and fight with him. So just protecting the honor of her sister, the word, now that person is in fight, either he kills the other person, or he injures or wounds the other person, and then end up in jail. Now in the jail, he was the only man of the head of the family, let's say. Now his sister, his mother, they are being insulted day in and day out by actually coming to the jail. No one, actually, there was no livelihood for them now. No one can earn any money for them. So every day they are going, they have to go through so many difficulties to the guards of jail, and then say to other people, complain to other people. So they are more insulted, 100 times more insulted than like that. But not of losing that protection they had of the head of the family, etc. So if that person had insight, he should have actually tolerated that for actually protecting himself from a greater evil, greater insult to his whole family, his sisters, his mother, and so it is that sometimes a person should think deeply how much your reaction is. So a dai, a preacher, a reformer may keep quiet about a wrong action or defer rebuking, which means delay, say it another time, or change his approach if he thinks that by doing so he will avoid a greater evil or a mistake. This is not considered to be shortcoming or negligence, so long as his intention is sincere and he does not fear anyone except Allah. And it was only concern for the best interest of Islam, not cowardice, that stopped him from saying anything. Sure. Take, I think it is sufficient for you to remember these points and then putting them into practice. If anyone have any questions, they can ask. कुछ सवाल करना है तो पूछ लेंगे, वरना तो चलते हैं, नमाज का वक्त होने वाला है।